You're listening to a Faith Matters podcast.
Ah, kia ora, kia ora. Welcome to Faith Matters. We have Umberto and Jax and Denise. Kia ora, kia ora. Welcome, welcome.
Kia ora, kia ora.
Hello. How's it going?
Hello, Denise.
Hello.
It's so good to be here. It's a beautiful day in Whangaroa, Raglan, Aotearoa, New Zealand. And we're here and we're doing it. The sun is shining. It is beautiful. It is. So last time we were on Marriage Matters with Umberto and Jax, we were talking about the power of the tongue and the words we use. How do we fight for peace and be anchored in our marriage? So if you want to catch up on that podcast, you can head over to Raglan Radio, obviously, on their site, and look for Marriage Matters. You might have to look for it under Faith Chats at the moment, but we're working on that one, and we will have its own standalone podcast, which I'm looking forward to. This week, we are diving into, what's our topic for this
fighting,
week?
Fighting for peace and being a peacemaker.
Sounds good.
Don't know. We'll see.
Okay, let's dive in and see what this is all about.
We'll see.
Off you go.
It requires work. So
as you said, I think the power of life and death is in the tongue. And remembering that marriage is a team effort, right? It's a team sport, right? If you look at it in that respect. It's something we do together, we work on together, and we're trying to make better versions of ourselves in the marriage complexity, right? But training our mouth for marriage and our relationships and for our life, and taking responsibility for the use of the words we use, right? But I think it's more than that, right? It goes down to like where your head goes, that's where we go, right? That's where you go. And so, if you think something and you keep on thinking about the same thing and you keep on working and taking your head in that direction, it eventually kind of like flows through to you, right? And that's what you start doing. That's where your heart goes, kind of thing. So if you think negatively versus positively, or if you think accusatively or critically, or maybe not even critically, I suppose, that becomes a negative, right? And it drives you towards doing things in a negative way. So we've got to really start working on trying to bring ourselves to the other side, right? To the other way. And instead of fighting each other, we should be fighting for peace. And it sounds like an oxymoron, right? Fighting for peace. But I think that's the thing, right? It's an internal battle, because what are you fighting? We're fighting self, right? We're fighting selfishness to become selfless. We keep on going back to that thing. It's such a big thing.
It's the key.
It's the key to marriage, right? Being servants, being servant-minded towards each other, not just in terms of community and all this, but it starts right here. It starts right in between us.
Yeah.
We all do what I need to do for you, not because I'm going to get something out of it, not because I'm going to get some, big bonus out of it or whatever, but because I want to do it for you, because I want you to have a better life.
That's really selfless, eh? And we're not really built that way.
Not naturally.
So marriage changes us, huh?
Yeah.
Well, they reckon that selfish people, marriage is brutal on. Right? Because we have, especially in the world today, we have a mindset that says, what's in this for me? If I'm not getting what I want, well, then what's the point? But it's as usual, it's the upside down world with God. Because when we actually give, we actually get blessed. And yet we don't think like that. We think, oh no, I've got to look after me. I've got to look after number one.
Or that we're losing some sense of power.
Or I'm losing me. Who am I then? If I'm always having to serve you, I lose me. And doing what Umberto just said about that fighting for peace, it doesn't mean you lose yourself, but you become a better you by giving.
And we don't know that you yet, because we haven't discovered it. And so we discover it when we're in relationship with each other.
Because all of a sudden you've got these two single people. And it's all awesome before you're married, because it's new, it's fresh, it's exciting, it's you think positive, like you said, babe. And you see all the positives in your partner's character. Then you get married, and now all of a sudden you're living under one roof, and you both have ideas how this should look.
Yeah, because you start out as an individual, and then
you
come
together.
And you're
on your best behavior. You're on your best because you want to show off and you want to draw them. And then you're married and all the warts come out.
Now we have to share them.
Come on, it's something that's really, I think, got hold of us lately, the past couple of weeks, really. When we listened to a message from a lady on the Bible app.
The Bible app, you know.
The Word
the,
for Today for, in the Bible
the
app.
The Bible scripture.
And it was just a short message on how in marriage we've got to go from that me to we. It's converting that me to we. And it's just such a big thing that we've come across.
Huge. Today, it's an M to a W.
Yeah.
Just switch it upside down.
There you go. Upside like down. God, upside
and,
down.
Yeah, you've got these two me's that were living individual lives, you know, doing their own thing, making their own decisions, and suddenly it's become a we. Mm. And suddenly we is no
it's
longer...
It's not just about
it's
me.
It's not just about me. It's not my decision. It's our decision now. Mm. It's not just how do I do stuff in the kitchen. It's how do we do stuff in the kitchen. Because what I do doesn't necessarily agree with what you think it should be done. Mm. And so you've got this little confrontation that takes place.
And
it wasn't there. Yeah, it wasn't there when you were dating.
No,
you didn't come
definitely
across when you're dating, of course. But now suddenly we get married, and now we're in this house
now
together.
Now you're in my kitchen.
Now you're in my kitchen.
Yeah.
Now
this
you're
is my space.
Now you're in my bathroom, and you're sharing my mirror and my sink.
My sink.
Ah, leave my toothpaste alone and my toothbrush.
And your shoes. And your shoes are all over the place. And yeah, for sure.
He's talking about me there, Marie.
No, I didn't go there.
But I know what you meant, though. We've been together long enough. I know.
I didn't go there.
You, you still said it, which meant you went there.
Anyway, moving on.
Convenient.
Where are we moving on to? We're in the kitchen. Where are we now? Choose, bathroom.
Choosing the peace rather than the conflict,
choosing
right?
The peace.
Okay.
Yeah. But again, how do we do that? We haven't been taught that. Yeah, in our upbringing, we didn't get taught how to handle confrontation. And as we've spoken about in previous episodes, we probably haven't even seen it handled well then, right, from our parents.
Yeah,
and
sure.
So there's a lot of dysfunctionality in a lot of families that takes place. And how do we infuse peace versus dysfunction? You know?
I like
choosing,
that word,
infuse.
Mm, infuse. I'd like to sit there for a minute. That's quite nice. It's like brewing
infuse,
a cup of tea, isn't it?
Because it's infuses when you have to merge something together, right?
Saturate it, let it soak in.
So it's not an instant.
No, it's a moving into it. It's a lovely word, Umberto. Mm,
there we go.
There we go. Mm.
I'm just trying to find a verse for you quickly.
Mm. Okay.
Matthew 5:9.
Mm.
So Matthew 5:9 tells us, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers.
Mm.
And it's biblical in terms of being a peacemaker. It's not necessarily a maker of the peace, but a peacemaker. So you bring the peace, right? And I think understanding that it's our responsibility to work towards making things peaceful. And as we'll talk about just now, making things peaceful doesn't necessarily mean we're not going to go there.
Mm.
Doesn't mean we're not going to deal with the topic because I'll just rather not go there because I want to keep the peace. No, it doesn't mean that at all.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean you're not going to be heard either.
Yeah.
Mm, good
but
point.
How do I bring that peace? How do we deal with the topic in a non-confrontational but in a constructive way that works for both of us?
Yeah.
And the idea between being a peacemaker is that you want to bring resolution. Yeah. I don't want to bring conflict for the sake of conflict. I want to bring resolution to us. So we've got an issue. We've got something that's we're not agreeing with or that's not working for us in whatever way it is. How do we resolve it instead of just battering heads over it and saying, well, you never, you always, you know?
Yeah.
No, hold on a second. It's more about, hold on, this doesn't work for me. I'm not used to dealing with this way, whatever it is. How you do the dishwasher, how you load the dishwasher is not the way I've been taught and I don't like the way you do it. How do we deal with this?
Yeah.
As simple as that.
How are we going to deal with it?
Yeah, how are we going to deal with it?
You just let whoever's doing the dishwasher. No, you don't. That's not true. You used to.
Give us some wisdom.
Okay, so what we do is, I honestly learned, because I was the one that was so fussy about how to put it in, because I could always put more in. And then one day I'm about to stop doing the dishes, and he still rinsed them, but he didn't put them in the dishwasher. And I said, if you're going to that effort, why do you just leave them on the side of the sink? It's more annoying.
Yeah.
So he said, well, because every time I've done it, I noticed you go and rearrange it so you can fit more in. And instead, I could have said, oh, for goodness sake, don't be so petty, which is like a natural response. Learning this, be the peacemaker, choose your fights. actually realized, I thought, actually, no, you're right. There you are trying to help me, and I'm thinking I could do it better and I can do it, put a bit more in. Does it really matter? And it's picking, it's choosing. Okay, the positive is Umberto's trying to help me, and I need to see that and appreciate it. Not tell him, well, yeah, you did it, but you did it wrong. Just say thank you.
Yeah, because we end up starting to sound like the mother, don't we?
Yes, yep. And as a wife, very good point, Marie, we are not their mother.
No, we're not.
And we need to draw the man out, whereas a mother trains, we learnt, was it Lisa Bevere talks about this, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Mothers train their children, wives draw the men out.
Oh, nice.
But how do we do that? Well, there's one thing, that's how we do it. We need to believe in them as a woman and that they can do it and not pick and be nitpicky on how they do it. Unless it's something we specifically want a certain way, talk about it. Don't just assume that I should be telling him. Because he's got his way too.
Yeah.
And it's that infusing together our differences.
Yeah, we all need a cup of tea, huh? So, you're going on here, you've got in your, because Umberto and Jax, they send me every week or fortnight, they send me notes on what they're going to talk about. And you've got in here, we're both so different. Men compartmentalize and women are a circuit board of emotions, you've got in brackets. Nothing from men is not, how do you put that? Same as nothing from women.
Yeah, when your wife says, it's nothing.
There we go.
It's nothing. You better believe it's something. Yeah.
So that's what you're meaning. Nothing. Yeah. When a man says nothing, it's wrong. Nothing. There's nothing.
Yeah.
It's nothing. When a woman says nothing, there's something.
And as women do need to learn to actually say what it is when they. If there is something, don't say there's nothing if there is.
So I think we have a guy called Mark Gungor that we've listened to before, and it's an old one now, but it's called Laughing Your Way to a Better Marriage.
Nice.
And it's a great a series. It's a course. But in it, he talks about the way that we're wired differently, right? And the point is that women are a circuit board of integrated
emotions,
thoughts, sets, and it's all set like that, right? And men, on the other hand, break everything down into boxes. Right, and we have a box for this, we have a box for that, we have a box for that, and every box, when a box is open, it's that box that's open we're dealing with, right? We don't think about multi things and all the rest of it, and women meanwhile string everything together, right? And everything's embedded, and they can remember everything from yesterday or a year ago even, because it's all burnt in by emotion, right?
Yep.
And it sticks there, right? Men won't remember something the next day, because it's like their box is closed now, it's done. And on top of that, men have a nothing box, which drives women wild, right? Because women say, you know, what are you thinking of? What are you doing? Nothing. And it's literally nothing. He's doing nothing. There's
nothing
happening in there, right? Women can't think of nothing, right? And it's true. And we've had couples who have absolutely been blown away when they've actually realized that, because they realize, it's not just my guy that's like that, not my man that's just like that.
It's men.
It's men. And we break things down into tasks.
In general, into men.
Silos. And that's what we work on. And that's it. And women are just so different.
And you have to have that box closed before you can switch.
Yeah. So you want to care?
Yeah.
So we've learned that if, for instance, Jackie wants to get my attention and I'm working on something, she needs to actually grab me and say, honey, I need to talk to you at the moment. I want to talk about something.
And you look at me.
And I then close my box that I'm working on. So if it's something I'm working on, doing, writing, whatever it is, and I put it down and I turn to her, okay, now I'm focused. I'm locked in, right? But if she tries to talk to me while I'm doing the other thing, I'll be
You'll
going,
just go, uh-huh, yeah, yeah.
Yep,
mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm. I'm not hearing a thing.
No.
I'm not hearing a thing. I'm focused on what I'm doing.
That sounds like me, Umberto. Maybe it's not just a man's thing after all.
That's why I said in general, because some women are also, when they're focused, they're focused.
So we've been talking about the power of the tongue from last week and the way that we use words and how do we fight for peace and be anchored in our marriage. And where your head goes, your heart will follow. So this podcast, like I said, can be found on Raglan Radio. So all of Marriage Matters, all these segments we do with Jax, Umberto and Jax are there for your listening pleasure and learning pleasure, I hope, as well. And I hope it's Yeah, support to your relationships, whether it be in your marriage or family or even in community. I'm sure you'll pick up many good points in these shows that we do. So we're going to head into unresolved conflict as one of marriage's biggest stumbling blocks. Mm. Attack the problem, not the person.
Yeah. Yeah,
good, well said.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing, right, as we were saying about being a peacemaker. And peacemaker is not avoiding or dodging the conflict, right? But unresolved conflict means that, yeah, we've got something that's going to frustrate us. It's going to create offense potentially. It's going to stop us engaging, right?
Mm.
And it hinders our focus essentially, right? And it'll affect your relationship. There's no doubt about it. It works hand in hand, right? If you're negative and you've got unresolved conflict, you'll get frustrated, you'll get angry, you won't engage.
Yeah, you feel unheard.
You feel unheard, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or the other one doesn't care.
Yeah. And I think it's as you said, it's about attacking the problem, not the person.
Yeah.
Right? It's about shifting away from the accusative and getting into the idea of wanting to resolve and reconcile at the forefront of your thinking. And that's the peacemaker side, mm-hmm. right? And how do we get through this? How do we deal with this situation or this issue that's causing us to be at loggerheads with each other? And
it can be simple things, hey? Like what we were talking about when the song was on. You know, when you're trying to say something to your spouse, especially like the male-female thing where when a guy is doing something and getting his attention, but to say what you need to say to him so that he is focused. But if he says to you, can you just hold on a minute? I know I used to get annoyed when Umberto said that to me, that it wasn't his instant stopping and just looking at me and listening to me.
Mm.
And I think that was not fair on my part, you know, that I would just get annoyed, because we need to learn to work with how each other's brains work. So I know that he needs to stop doing what he's doing if I want him to really hear what he's going to say. So give him those few minutes to just finish what he's doing so that he then can focus on me, which is what I want, without getting annoyed. So it's learning how do we dance together in this, or infuse each other's thinking.
Well, I think and what you're talking about is really coming down to learning self-control.
Yes.
How how you allow the situation to develop because of what you can do about it, right? And self-control is a fruit of the spirit, right?
Mm.
It takes self-control not to become offended, to become angry.
It does.
Because someone disagrees with us, or because they don't have the same viewpoint.
Or they don't stop in an instant when we need their attention.
Mm. Yeah. And that self-control is needed over our thoughts and our words. And we are, it's not because we're going to become robots, but it's about how do we allow ourselves to fuel a situation in a positive or a negative way. So it comes down to taking responsibility. We have the responsibility for how we interact with our spouse and society as a whole, right?
Let's be honest. If it was somebody in the office, we wouldn't get that irritated.
Yeah.
Or if we did, we wouldn't show it.
Yeah, we would have to have self-control
to do that. So we're giving them more respect. And it's not to say we don't give other people respect. Of course we do. But then we come home and all that is thrown out the window. It's like, seriously, this is the person that I'm meant to love. Surely I should be more patient?
Yeah, and there's that saying, do we listen to hear or do we listen to respond?
Yes.
You know, do we, we're just really quick. We're already thinking of what we want to say. We're not really listening to the person anymore. We're just wanting to come out with our own, what we've got to say about this. That can be a big one, I think, is whether we're really listening to hear somebody.
Yeah, or listening for ourselves to defend.
Waiting for our turn to get in there and get in there.
Exactly, because if we really listen properly, we won't only hear what they're saying, we're hearing what they're not saying. But because you know each other, you can understand where are you actually trying to come from? Where's this coming from?
Mm.
Because we can't always say properly what we feel.
Yeah.
And I'd like to put in there too, what you just to lead on from that, Jax, is that, you know, we, hurting people hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
For one thing, if we're holding hurt, it will come out.
Yep.
Yeah. So dealing with our own hurt or wanting to even go there is a big one, you know. And I forgot the other thing I was going to say.
Mm.
There you go.
But
that was a good one too. It'll come back to me.
It'll come back.
But I think, isn't that the whole way? If you are hurting, it's not addressing the hurt, but it's also not attacking the other one because you're hurt. So if you've said something to me that hurts me, for me to say to you, you know, babe, the other day when you spoke to me the way you did, it really hurt me. But saying it because I'm saying how I feel, it probably was not true because you didn't want to purposely hurt me, right? But this is how it made me feel, which means you then can say, Ree, I'm sorry I made you feel like that. That wasn't my intention. This is what I was trying to say. And there you're keeping our conversation open together so that you know next time, or maybe I shouldn't say it in that way. I'll try a different way. You know, but there's always this learning. How do we – I love it in that Cherish book. We're learning a new course at the moment, and it's called Cherish. And I love how it says love is the – what does it say? The mechanics of marriage, like the doing. But Cherish is the dance. So it's this flow that we have to try and have together. And to have a dance together is intimate. It's close. And this is what, even in our conversations, I think, it comes into that as well. How do we dance in our conversations? How do I see your next step the way you see my next step?
Nice.
You know? And it gives it a different essence, I think, when you think of the word cherish.
Moving together, aren't you?
Yeah, that's really lovely.
I'm looking at a lovely sign. I think I've mentioned this before out there. And it's great, right? It's a graffitied kind of artistic creative wall in town here. And it says grow together. I mean, that's obviously for the community. But in terms of marriage, that's exactly what it is, right? It's about growing together. We're growing together. We're nurturing each other, cherishing, protecting, feeding. And that's what we should look at it, right? It's an idea of the fact that we together are going to become so much more together than we would have been as two individuals.
Right? And
so
fruitful.
And fruitful, yeah.
That's together. A good one. Fruitfulness is good.
Fruitfulness is good.
And there's that awesome scripture as well lately, right? Even I think Pastor Roger mentioned it the other day. When you planted by the stream, you know, in all seasons you will have fruit. And isn't that what we're aiming for? Because together we can achieve so much more when we do it well.
Beautiful words of wisdom. As always from you lovely people. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for sharing with us. And I look forward, well, we all look forward to in a fortnight's time when these two lovely people will be back. But like I said, you can tune in to any one of the podcasts on Faith Matters. On Raglan Radio, you can look under Faith Matters, you can look under Faith Chats, and hopefully we will have different segments of that in regards to marriage matters and becoming unoffendable. Standalone podcast would be good.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome.
You've been listening to a Faith Matters podcast. If you have questions, email us on faithmatters98.1fm@gmail.com.